Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington, and here are some of the stories we're covering for you today, Monday, December 17th, 2018. A government spokesman denies a man sanctioned by the U.S. last week sold military vehicles to the government.
So he's a businessman. I cannot deny that he has been importing cars, but not for military reason. He had never got any contract for military reason.
And a spokesman for Paul Malong's opposition group says some Espilimayo fighters have joined his group.
The Western Barangiga Lions have joined South Sudan United Front, and currently they are our forces under the command of Major General Kamis.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir's spokesman is criticizing recent U.S. Treasury Department sanctions on three men for either extending or expanding the conflict in South Sudan. Ateni Wekateni calls the sanctions misplaced on innocent individuals. Dimo Silva Aurelio reports for VOA from Juba.
The sanctions were announced Friday on three individuals who the U.S. says supplied arms and military equipment to either the government, rebel fighters, or both. The Treasury's Office for Foreign Assets Control, or OFAC, placed sanctions on retired Israeli Major General Israel Sif, South Sudanese businessman Obach William Olao, and South Sudanese National Grigori Fasili. Besides slapping sanctions on the three individuals, OFAC also sanctioned six entities owned and or controlled by Sif and Olao. OFAC sanctioned Fasili for carrying out activities that it says has undermined peace, stability and security in South Sudan. Olao, also known as Olaha Obach William, routinely imported standard and armored vehicles for the South Sudan government, and one of his entities was identified as having transported soldiers, arms and equipment to support the government offensive, according to the U.S. Treasury Department. Presidential spokesman Ateny Wek Ateny says Olao only imported V8 Land Cruisers and other ordinary vehicles.
So he's a businessman. I cannot deny that he has been importing cars, but not for military reason. He had never got any contract for military reason. South Sudan is implementing peace agreement, and this is what should be the focus of international community. Instead of just going down to hand individuals who are actually quite innocent.
Grigori Fasili, also known as Adol Grigori Deng Kwach, is accused of facilitating the transportation of South Sudanese soldiers around South Sudan and brokering deals for sale of military equipment to the government. Ateny claims Fasili is innocent.
He's a general in the army, and he's not commanding any troops. Since 2013, he has been a deputy to a number of division commanders, so he did not come directly to be having forces that give people, a leeway to just sanction that person. He's completely innocent.
Retired military commander Israel Sif, who also goes by Silbestin Israel Baruch, known as Sif, owns an Israeli agriculture company in South Sudan called the Green Horizon. He is accused of supplying both the government and opposition forces with weapons and ammunition. Ateny describes Sif is a long-time friend of South Sudan government who helped develop the country's agriculture sector.
He has been facilitating number of South Sudanese students to go to Israel to study agriculture, because South Sudan wanted to go out from relying on oil to agro-industry. And this is where General Zipt is quite helpful in that. So General Zipt is targeted because whenever he's seen coming to the office of the president and he's moving between the department of government, you know, those who sees him, considering that he's an Israeli by nationality, they think he's actually supplying arms. This is completely rubbish. General Zipt did not even supply even a pistol.
The U.S. Treasury's Office for Foreign Assets Control says the sanctions sent a clear message that such behavior is unacceptable and contrary to ongoing U.S. efforts to assist end the conflict in South Sudan. The sanctions require that any interest in property or those designated by OFAC that is within or transiting U.S. jurisdictions or the possession or control of a U.S. person must be blocked and reported to OFAC. The U.S. says it will take forceful action against those who undermine the peace, stability, or security of South Sudan, obstruct the peace process, or are responsible for human rights abuses or other atrocities in the country. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
The South Sudan United Front, led by former Army Chief General Paul Malong, claims that more than 4,000 troops from the SPLA-IO's Lions Division in former Western Bahar El Ghazal State have joined the military group in recent days. A SSUF spokesperson says the troops are now stationed around Wau and Raja towns. But a SPLA-IO commander denies that any of his forces have joined Malong's rebel group. Michael Atit has more for VOA from Khartoum.
South Sudan United Front spokesperson Sunday Dijon says the SPLA-IO forces joined Malong's group because they say the River Talais peace agreement does not address the root causes of the conflict.
Yeah, I can confirm to you the Western Baralgiza Lions have joined South Sudan United Front, and currently they are our forces under the command of Major General Kamis. The troops are located around Wau and Raja, and most of them are in their headquarters.
A statement issued last week and signed by a purported former SPLA-IO officer, Brigadier General Salah Khamis Sabun, says the current peace deal does not address a number of issues, including how democratically transform South Sudan. But Lieutenant General Ashab Khamis Fahal, the SPLA-IO Sector 7 commander, denies his troops have defected to Malong's group, adding he has never seen or heard about General Khamis. He says he believes the troops who allege defected to Malong's group are anti-peace elements who wants to disturb the implementation of the River Talais peace agreement signed in September.
That is a baseless statement. I do believe that the forces on the ground, that is Sector 7, which is comprised of Division 6A of Wau and Division 6B of Raja, these are forces loyal to Dr. Riek Machar. We don't see any forces there existing that belong to other movements.
General Fahal says recent meetings between political and military leaders from the government and SPLA-IO held in Wau and Raja prove that the two sides are committed to working together to implement the peace deal.
The IO in Western Bahar al-Ghazal are for peace. And you can see now on the ground how the process is going. There is a work going between our government in Wau Federal State with the government in Wau. So the two governments are working together. We have a committee, a political committee. They came to Wau. They had a number of meetings trying to coordinate all the issues in regard of the implementations.
Dijon says the forces who claims defected to Malong's group will strengthen the power of groups that opposes the Kiir administration.
Well, we are not in argument with them. Whatever they say is their opinion, and we cannot counter their opinion for no good reason. If they think we don't have forces there or there are no forces that have joined South Sudan United Front, is well and good. By the end of the day, it is all about military strategy. We cannot be able to talk much about where our forces are.
South Sudan United Front was formed by former Army Chief Paul Malong in April. Malong attempted several times to join the peace negotiations, but eager mediators turned down his request. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum, Sudan.
South Sudan's government says it has set up a team to investigate reported rapes and other sexual violence committed by South Sudan's soldiers against women and girls in Bentiu during 2016 and 2017. Earlier this month, the group Legal Action Worldwide filed a case in Geneva with the UN Committee on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. A delegation with the UN Human Rights Council, which visited South Sudan last week, said it received assurances from the government that it would share its findings with the commission. South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay tells my colleague James Buddy that whatever the South Sudan team reports back, it will be credible.
The government actually learned of these alleged atrocities through the media. However, the government set up a committee that will go and investigate and find out exactly what happened. Gender and Social Welfare went also there, leading a delegation on a fact-finding mission to find out exactly what happened in that place. In addition to that, we are informed that the UN sent a fact-finding committee to the area. We are surprised that the UN passed a resolution which to us was unfair. However, the government is ready to share whatever information with the UN so that all these issues are addressed amicably.
So, Minister, how independent will your inquiry be? I mean, one would think it should have been done by an independent body.
What do you mean by an independent body? The government of South Sudan cannot investigate into any case. When we set up a committee to investigate on the Terena case, it was by the government of South Sudan, and the culprits were brought to books, and they have been tried and they have been given the necessary convictions or sentences. How is it that people tend not to trust in the ability of the government? We trust in our institutions, we trust in our committees, and we believe that whatever report that they bring will be a credible report.
Minister, when the story first came about, I spoke to the presidential spokesman. His first reaction was that this legal action worldwide had a hidden agenda. The fact that you're now going to investigate, is this an admission that perhaps there's some truth to the report?
I find that the spokesman of the president was right to say that there was no reason for any. MSF is a humanitarian organization specialized in health services. If any patient has gone and reported to MSF, that person goes there seeking treatment. And the doctor-patient relations, in this case, are definitely violated by MSF. MSF is not here to report on South Sudan or to report on atrocities of South Sudan, but it is here to render health services to the people of South Sudan.
Minister, so is the view of your government that this investigation you are going to launch is going to be independent?
They will be independent, and we have before conducted an independent investigation on the Terrain Hotel crime. What is the reason for anybody today to doubt the credibility of the government of South Sudan? This clearly tells us that those who write such reports have a hidden agenda. And this is where I agree with the spokesman of the Office of the President that the policy of the regime change is not yet abandoned by those people who are here. The fact that we have reached peace and they are supposed to work for peace, but there are some most of these countries which are now backing up this situation are the very countries whom we know very well that have been working for a regime change.
That is South Sudan Information Minister Michael McQuay speaking to VOA's James Buddy from Juba. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. UNICEF says thousands of South Sudanese children remain separated from their families. That story when we return.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Do you offer advice to your siblings? If so, what kind of advice?
Yes, I advise my siblings. I tell them to be respectful to everybody, old and young alike.
Yes, I advise my siblings. I tell them not to waste money, but to be careful in the way they handle money. I also tell them to give to people who are in need.
Hard work always pays, and if you work hard, at the end you realize something that you didn't expect. So that's the single piece of advice that I offer to my siblings.
I always tell them to they work hard in school. Then, of course, they should be open in case they want anything or lack anything.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. The UN Children's Agency, UNICEF, says 15,000 children in South Sudan remain separated from their families or are missing 5 years after the conflict erupted in the country. A UNICEF spokesman says his agency is working hard to reunite some of those children with their parents. Winnie Serino reports for VOA from Juba.
Tim Ewin, Chief of Communication at UNICEF, says as the country marks the fifth anniversary of the outbreak of fighting, there are still many children separated from their families.
Since the conflict first began, UNICEF and partners have reunited around 6,000 children with their families or caregivers. But what we want to emphasize is that there's still a lot of work to be done. There are still these 15,000 children who are either missing or are separated and looking for their parents. And of course, we work very closely with the children, with social workers and caseworkers and other organizations to do everything that we can to find parents and caregivers of these children who are probably being looked after by foster parents while we do this search.
Ewin says a week ago, UNICEF reunited three children with their mother in Bentiu after 3 years of searching. He says the children who are separated from their parents are from across the country, and most of them live in UN-run protection of civilian sites. Ewin says the process of reuniting the children with their parents or relatives is often delayed because of poor telecommunication networks and bad roads that make it difficult for UNICEF to coordinate with people from other areas.
Sometimes it can happen in months, sometimes it can take years, because it really is a door-to-door process. I mean, for instance, if we know where the children are, but we don't know where the parents are, then we will gather as much information as we can from the children, where they last live, where they last saw their parents, do they have any relatives, uncles, aunts in the area who we can contact. And then it's a matter of going back to where they last saw their parents and asking around, you know, literally going home to home.
Ewin says he hopes South Sudan's leaders will implement the revitalized peace agreement so that people, including children, can feel secure and return to their homes. He says the former warring parties should enable free movement of humanitarian agencies to provide support to those in the affected areas.
If peace holds and there's no longer insecurity and people are no longer afraid, the humanitarian needs will still be significant. You know, too many children are out of school. There are many malnourished children. Water systems have been damaged. Healthcare systems have been damaged. Schools have been damaged. So there's still a great deal of work to be done. But if there's peace on the ground and there's greater security on the ground, then a huge amount can be accomplished.
In a report released last week, UNICEF said an estimated 1.2 million children are acutely malnourished, making it the highest number since the conflict began. It also says some 2.2 million children are not receiving an education, giving South Sudan the dubious distinction of being the country with the highest proportion of out-of-school children in the world. UNICEF has appealed for $179 million to provide humanitarian assistance to children in 2019. For VOA News, I am Winnie Serino in Juba.
Uganda opens its national dialogue on Tuesday, a meeting of religious, civic, government, and political leaders to build a national consensus for developing peace, democracy, and equal opportunity. The conference is driven largely by religious leaders. Some participants, however, hope it leads to a path for President Yoweri Museveni's eventual retirement. Museveni has led the country for 32 years and shows no sign of leaving office. While he won support for stabilizing the country and boosting the economy, his critics say he has become increasingly harsh toward any opposition. Many young voters say his government ignores their concerns. On Saturday, security forces forced one political opponent, legislator Robert Kyagulanyi, to flee his hotel after police banned him from performing at a concert. He also goes by the name Bobby Wine and is an internationally known pop singer. Earlier this year, Wine and other members of parliament were arrested while campaigning and beaten badly while in custody. We turn to Rwanda now, where security forces have yet to identify the attackers who set fire to three cars in a national park on Saturday, killing two people and injuring eight. Eugene Uwimana has this report from Kigali.
The Rwanda Defense Force says the military is pursuing the attackers in the Nyunga Forest. The military says it has a good idea of who is behind the attack in the southern region. There have been several attacks on civilians in the southern province this year, and President Paul Kagame named Emmanuel Gasana, the former police inspector general of police, to be the governor of South. In January and August this year, gunmen attacked the Nyaruguru district and killed two persons and injured many. The government says the assailants come from neighboring Burundi. This resident of the area describes some of the assailants at previous attacks. She says they had guns and knives, and some wore black clothes. Although they killed some people, she says her mother only got a chest injury. The defense spokesperson, Lieutenant Colonel Innocent Munyengango, told VOA the army is ready to handle these attacks and ease security frustrations among Rwandans who live near the Burundi border.
Munyengango says, what is happening? I know more problems. We are following them closely to figure out where the attackers are coming from. And we promise Gwandans that we identify them and we capture any group that can be behind those attacks. While speaking to journalists on the sidelines of the National Council on Friday, President Paul Kagame seemed to blame Burundi for the attacks along the border. He said his government will not respond to provocations. Tensions between the two countries have been risen this year. Earlier this month, Burundi's President Pierre Nkurunziza unsuccessfully sought an emergency meeting on the East African Community because of what he called Gwandan aggression. Gwanda has denied those allegations. Eugene Wimana for VOA News, Kigali.
A young South Sudanese who recently received a prestigious award in the western U.S. city of Los Angeles, California, for creating a game on conflict resolution, says he would like to use his game to bring peace to his country of South Sudan. Luau Mayen says the concept of the Janoob game started when he was playing a war game on his own computer. He says his Janoob game targets young South Sudanese who will learn how to resolve conflicts equitably and peacefully.
One day I went to an internet cafe and a friend of mine installed for me a video game called GTA Vice City, Grand Theft Auto. So Grand Theft Auto is one of the biggest games. Like it's actually violent. It's one of the biggest violent games. So when I was playing this game, I was feeling to myself like, you know, how about like if I can make a game one day which is actually promoting, you know, peace building and conflict resolution.
Why peace building and conflict resolution? It's too broad when you talk about these two issues. Why peace building and conflict resolution?
When you look at the focus of the world right now, the world is really looking at innovative ways on how to resolve, you know, conflict. For example, I can give for our country, like South Sudan, like our conflict, like it started some time, long time ago. And whereby when you look back at the calculation of that, they are really like almost 73% of the population in South Sudan are under the age of 30. And they are the young people. And these young people are, you know, they're the one into gaming. They're the one who play video games. They're the one that actually sometimes uses the tool of war. But how do we really engage them? How do we bring them together? How do we help them understand how to resolve conflict? For example, in South Sudan, on how to resolve simple things, even in school.
Yes, and when you talk about young people, I'm looking at you, you're very young. How old are you?
Right now, I just turned 25.
You are 25 years old. You know, you have added knowledge into the world of gaming. How do you feel about that?
I feel like, where I am today never been my dream, but, like, I was so contented with what I have. Like, I was so happy. First of all, like, what brought me where I am today, it's really my mom really contributed a lot. She spent 3 years looking for $300 to buy for me a laptop. And even today, she doesn't understand what I'm doing in the game industry. Why? Because she's not educated. Why? She really doesn't understand the technology world. But she was doing this just because I'm a son. So she wanted to help me. That's like most of the women in South Sudan are helping their children a lot, like spending whatever it takes to make something good for their children.
Talk to me a little bit about people who have developed interest in this, your discovery. Are there people who are interested in learning this game?
Right now, like, for example, the wider game, like I've been testing it in school. So like all the school in most of the universities, for example, American University, Georgetown University, talking about like George Washington University, So like all the, in San Diego, I was in San Diego, like University of San Diego, most of the universities have really put interest in this game for them to use the game for learning, to use the game for teaching people. There are also organizations, for example, most of the humanitarian organizations have really put interest, have given a lot of talks at conferences on how we can use game for peace building and conflict resolution. And then, like, most of these organizations have really put an interest in it. Also in the game industry, there are companies like the God of War actually won the game of the year. They just came to me recently and they want to work with me. There is one of the famous American TV show. It's called Adventure Time. It's one of like the biggest. They have also put interest in working with me on working on a. We are planning to work on a health game, personal hygiene game.
That is South Sudanese entrepreneur Luol Mayen, the creator of the new peace-building game Janub Games. Mayen recently received an award for his innovations in the gaming industry. In the second part of the interview, Mayen talks to my colleague John Tanza about his plans to distribute his game in South Sudan. That's our show for this Monday. We leave you with the song Reconciliation by Kabas.
Yeah. The homeboy Kabas and Leviticus Levi. You already know we're talking about reconciliation. Yeah. That's all we need. That's all we're praying for. Levi, tell him, say.
Let's see that beat.
Jeron bitau humba godu sawakulu yom se kebas for levy friendship town biga tala go we the berenga te sharwai who also go we lakini yom ina yam shitan daka to ras bitau gada bukuat la hadi nobody has no part to call a friend
forgiveness what I'm preaching
I have a strong desire burning like a fire let us take time making we can take it higher this is the generation to change the nation through peace and reconciliation.
Umonbikeli manina masakin, lakini na mistakal sedi. Umonbikeli manina deifi, lakini na inu imam. Reconcileso, ya uni na deru. Reconcileso, all that we need. Umonbikeli manina masakin, lakini na mistakal sedi. Umonbikeli manina deifi, lakini na inu imam.
Mabzol taban, mabzol dey. Pigidam tala, mabzol meskin, mabzol ganyan. Pigidam tala, mabzol taban, mabzol dey.
We've been listening to Kabas with the song Reconciliation. I'm Carol Van Dam in Washington. We're glad you could join us today. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America.
You and he, let's try to meet a different, to be as family, to live as one nation. There is nothing we can change. Don't love each other. There is nothing we can do if we don't forgive each other. Hey, let us come together. Together, one. Umonbikeli manina masakin. Lakini na mistake. Kelly Manina, baby.